In most countries, wedding dresses are typically white, but this tradition isn't as old as you might think. Until the 19th century, wedding dresses were any random color. Basically, a bride just wore the best gown she owned. Often, they weren't white. You see, back in the day, with no running water, white wasn't a very practical color. Female members of royal families typically got married wearing red gowns. In 1840, Queen Victoria changed the tradition when she got married in a white gown. At first, it was frowned upon because white was associated with mourning, so it wasn't much of a festive color. Still, less than a decade later, white became widely accepted and started to be associated with purity and innocence instead. A bit more about weddings. Typically, engagement and wedding rings are worn on the fourth finger, and the tradition goes back to ancient Egypt, Rome, and Greece. People were wearing their rings on that finger because they believed that there was a vein in this particular finger that led straight to the heart. Wearing a ring on this finger symbolized that the heart of a person was taken. Originally, the ring was worn on the right hand because people believed the left hand to be unlucky. Some cultures changed it to the left hand later. In some countries, people wear their engagement ring on the right hand before the wedding and switch it to the left after the wedding. But it's always the fourth finger. We now know there's no vein leading to the heart, but the tradition remained. Almost everywhere in the world, pink is considered to be a girl color, and blue is traditionally a boy color. I was wondering why it was like that, so I did a bit of digging. Turns out that originally, it was vice versa. As a stronger color, pink was associated with boys, and blue, as a calmer color, was assigned to girls. Later, the colors were reassigned as pink was seen as the shade of romantic red. In the 19th century, the women's movement almost put an end to assigning colors to genders. But then, there were the 1960s, when people learned how to figure out the gender of the future baby and started throwing gender reveal parties. Companies figured that they could make money by selling pink and blue gendered items, and that's how they established the rule: blue is for boys and pink is for girls. The blue raspberry flavor is more like the regular raspberry because blue raspberries just don't exist. But for some reason, raspberry-flavored ice pop is blue. Why is it so if the berry itself is pink or red? Well, for practical reasons and to make it less confusing. Imagine you're producing a pack of popsicles and assigning colors to flavors. An apple-flavored one will probably be green. A lemon one will be yellow. That's easy. Then there's strawberry. So it should be red. Also, cherry. Well, red again. Watermelon, red. And now raspberry. Red one more time. Wait, four reds are too many reds. How will people tell them apart? So, raspberry ice pops were made blue and got called a non-existent blue raspberry. Okay, now the egg mystery. Like, why are some of them white and some brown? And what does it depend on? Apparently, the color depends on the breed of the hen. Typically, white chickens lay white eggs and dark chickens lay brown eggs. But even chickens of the same breed can lay eggs of different colors, depending on the genetics of the particular hen. If you wonder if there's any difference between brown and white eggs, then the answer is no. It's just the color of the shell, nothing more. The yolk can look different too, orange or yellow. Its color depends on the food the chicken eats. If its diet has a big amount of yellow-orange pigments, then the yolk will be darker. Again, there's no difference here than the color, so don't worry about it. Do you hear a sound and almost instantly see a specific color? You may be part of a special group of people, about 4% of the world's population, who can experience synesthesia. You're not imagining things. A new study shows that synesthesia is real, and it has brain scans to prove it. When these synesthetic people hear colors, scans show their brain parts for sight and sound are speaking to each other. Since synesthesia seems to be genetic, some researchers picked three families where this feature was present. They went on to play with DNA sequencing, comparing the genes of family members with synesthesia to those without. They still don't have the complete picture of this unique feature, but they did manage to narrow it down to some 37 possible gene suspects. Sometimes, after a nap in an uncomfortable position, you might have felt your arm or leg all tingly or numb. You'd think it all has to do with poor blood circulation. In fact, it might be due to a little thing called paresthesia. This is when your body starts experiencing unusual sensations because your nerves are squeezed or irritated. Paresthesia can give you anything from a burning sensation to that annoying feeling like your arm or leg is not responding at all. It might even throw in some itching or the good old pins and needles. Usually, it shouldn't take longer than 30 minutes tops. Give the affected body part a good shake and it might speed up the process. If it takes longer than that, or if you're getting repeated episodes of paresthesia for no reason, best to check with a specialist to make sure everything's okay. You know what's also worth checking? If you've already liked this video and subscribed to the channel, you know, just to make sure you'll never miss anything. On a regular day, you don't even think about your stomach or its chemical content. Can you imagine if one day this substance just vanished? It contains hydrochloric acid, which is also used in fertilizers, rubber, and steel. Should you ever inhale it, you'd get some serious nose and breathing trouble. Whenever you're chewing something, your stomach starts working those gastric juices. They help because they can help break down protein, activate pepsin, get rid of whatever bacteria you may have swallowed without even knowing, and signal your food to move on towards the, well, the exit. Without the acid, the food would just sit there, turning into a bacterium breeding ground. Proteins and nutrients won't get absorbed. Your lunch or dinner might rush through your system as is, and you could end up eliminating undigested food. Ugh. There's a reason why paper cuts hurt so much. For starters, they happen on your fingertips, which are very sensitive areas. That's because they're full of receptors, which are like your body's receptionists, helping you determine the size, shape, texture, and temperature of the things you touch. When you get a paper cut, these receptors get instantly triggered, sending unpleasant information to the brain. Paper cuts also aren't like a clean slice from a sharp knife because of the dullness of the paper edges. This exposes even more of those receptors. Paper cuts don't bleed much and they don't clot well either. It leaves the nerves out in the open, making the discomfort even worse. We're always using our hands, so these cuts keep reopening, taking forever to heal. Paper is often treated with chemicals that can irritate your skin too. Deja vu seems to just hit you out of nowhere. You're not a sorcerer and you're also not communicating with anyone from the beyond. It's just your brain malfunctioning. According to doctors, deja vu is experienced when two parts of the brain are having a bit of a misunderstanding. These two brain parts are located on each side of your skull, right above your temples. They're like the memory cards of your brain, helping you remember things like locations or other people's faces. They even decode emotions and understand language. Now, in each of these brain areas called temporal lobes, there's a region called the hippocampus. This one is responsible for short-term memories. Sometimes the brain can get small glitches, confusing the hippocampus. That's when we get deja vu. All this process messes with your recognition memory systems, giving you that weird feeling that you've been there before, or you've already met a person you're seeing for the first time. This is a completely normal process, and you're more likely to experience deja vu if you're between 15 and 25 years old. It also seems that people who travel a lot or have the ability to remember their dreams experience it more often. It's hard to imagine if a whole civilization could survive without anyone having sight. That's highly unlikely, and here's why. First, imagine trying to grow food when you can't even see what you're doing. prepping the soil would turn into a nightmare. Because without sight, we'd be lost in, say, a massive wheat field with no reference points. Gathering that little food wouldn't be easy either. Animals might be lurking everywhere, ready to harm us. Communication would be complicated, since we wouldn't be able to read something without touching. Even our social lives would be different. Without eyes, we'd be left to rely on voices. Talking to someone without knowing who else is listening. Creepy. If you've ever had a spicy pepper, you know it's not technically hot in terms of its temperature. So why does it feel like it's burning, even if it's just out of the fridge? Well, spicy food has these chemicals that trick your body into turning up its internal air conditioning. First, your lips and tongue feel like they're on fire. Then your nose starts to feel all runny, and you might even shed a tear or two. Your blood vessels dilate, and suddenly, your entire body temperature goes up. To cool things down, you start to sweat. Your lungs might participate as well and signal your diaphragm to pitch in some hiccups, all in an attempt to kick out the fiery intruder. In most cases, all these bodily triggers are caused by a substance called capsaicin, often found in hot peppers like habanero and cayenne. Even though we might feel like we're moving around in our dreams, we aren't because of a complex system in our bodies. This keeps your muscles from doing all sorts of outrageous things because of the wild stories our brains might be coming up with at night. It turns out that most of this brain chemistry happens during the rapid eye movement, or REM phase, about 90 minutes after you've fallen asleep. During REM, or REM, your brain is experiencing some of the weirdest dreams, while your voluntary muscles, like your arms and legs, are turned off. This muscle lockdown is the reason why some people wake up and can't move, experiencing what they call sleep paralysis. The big mystery was how the muscles got into this paralyzed state. Early on, scientists thought glycine, a neurotransmitter, was responsible. Research has shown that even if scientists blocked glycine, the muscles remained frozen. It took a while longer for scientists to find out that to keep those muscles immobile, you need both glycine and another communication chemical called GABA, or GABA. We're not as hairy as our ancestors, but we do still get little goosebumps when we're cold. It's because of these tiny muscles in our hair follicles, called erector pili, that pull our hair upright. For furry animals, this creature helps keep them warm. But for us, it doesn't do much in terms of heat. Still, we and some other less hairy creatures kept this ability over the years. Experiments were done to figure out more about these goosebumps. They found these three key players. Those erector pili muscles, sympathetic nerves, and hair follicles. When they played around with the nerves, hair growth slowed down. The nerves and our hair follicles work like partners, making chemical synapses. So, goosebumps aren't just a quick fix to lower temperatures. They might also tell our stem cells to grow more hair in the long run. That's why losing those muscle cells could be linked to going bald. Bet you've never heard of corrugation. It's a system that may lie hidden in your pantry right now. Ever notice those bumps on food cans? That's exactly what they're called. And they're not just for aesthetics. First off, they make the can extra strong. That's because they can help it from cracking during the manufacturing process. Plus, these corrugations come in handy during delivery, acting like a shield to make sure there's no spillage. They're also useful in the long run because they help keep the cans in their original shape. Even when things get too hot or too cold, these corrugations let them breathe a bit. They expand and contract without breaking the metal. You may not notice any cracks on regular cans, but even the tiniest of openings can leave a way for nasty bacteria to get in contact with the food. Not to mention, they create this little air gap, so when you pop the can open, everything slides out smoothly without you having to put in that much effort. You know what also doesn't require much effort? Hitting that subscribe button and liking this video. You know there's a plant out there that's so eager to reach the sun, you can hear it grow? Rhubarb, just before it's picked from the fields, soaks up all the sun rays it can get to make glucose. After this sunbathing session, it gets transported to dark sheds. Inside, it keeps on growing and uses the stored glucose as fuel. Nothing out of the ordinary so far. But in that dark, cozy, and warm place, rhubarb starts acting weird. That environment pushes the plant to stretch itself out in hopes it will find sun rays again. It happens so fast that you can actually hear the buds and stalks making noise as they pop open. To make sure this process goes smoothly, there's no light allowed. If light hits the rhubarb at this point, it will start photosynthesizing again and go bitter. Speaking of everyday groceries, you might have noticed that veggie bags come with some green stripes. Know that it's a sneaky optical trick. Those stripes fool our eyes into believing the veggies look way greener than they are. And it's not just veggies that get this special packaging. Oranges are often sold in red mesh bags for the same reason. Lemons? They go for yellow or green bags for that same pop of color. If your cooking skills aren't that good and you're just afraid you're going to mess up dinner yet again, stick to mushrooms. That's because they're almost impossible to overcook. Unlike other vegetables that turn into mush when overcooked, mushrooms are way more resistant. They've got this interesting substance called chitin, a molecular structure that works like an armor. So you can cook them forever, they won't burn. Donuts don't have holes in them because it's easier for you to pick them up. If you've ever tried to make them at home, you might have noticed that when you fry the dough, the outside gets done quickly, thanks to the hot oil. If you want the inside to look just as good, you have to keep it in the oil way longer, but then the outside would get too brown. Thanks to that middle hole, the heat gets to both sides equally, cooking up a flawless donut. Here's how that small piece of paper makes it into your fortune cookie. First, they bake these cookies flat, like pancakes. Then, while they're still warm and bendy, they sneak in those tiny messages. As the cookies cool down, they toughen up and keep their shape, trapping the fortune inside like a tasty time capsule. One legend has it that these Asian treats were initially intended to help people send all sorts of secret messages without causing any suspicion. Here's a little tip for whenever you're buying lunch at a fast food place. Skip the word extra when you're ordering. The moment you speak that term, you're tempting the employees to charge more. Instead, go for something like a little more, please, when you're getting a special burrito bowl. According to a UK study, cheese is the most stolen of foods worldwide. It's estimated that around 4% of all cheese just vanishes from stores. And no, it's not mice doing the stealing, it's people. Why? Because cheese is becoming more and more valuable. The price of cheese is constantly going up, and sneaky thieves are trying to make easy money by simply taking it from the racks. It's not just cheese, though. Other interesting items on the thieving list include fresh meat, chocolate, and seafood. Ferrero. The company behind those luscious jars of Nutella needs about 25% of the world's hazelnuts every year. So if you think about it, 1 in 4 hazelnuts ends up in a chocolatey jar. The manufacturers get the nuts from Turkey, Italy, and Chile, making sure they get them delivered from both the northern and southern hemispheres to keep things fresh. Nutella's impact on the economy is even bigger than you'd imagine. Because of this demand, the price of hazelnuts went through the roof. In 2014, a frost hit Turkey's hazelnuts, supply got halved, and prices were even higher. Now, even places like New Jersey are trying to grow those Nutella-worthy nuts. When you imagine someone trying to sneak something into space, your first thought wouldn't be a sandwich. But back in 1965, during a Gemini mission, astronaut John Young brought a corned beef sandwich on board, going against NASA rules. He hid it in his spacesuit pocket before blastoff. About 2 hours into the five-hour trip, he went to the mission commander and offered him this unlawful treat. The commander, being a good sport, took it, and they shared a quick, savory moment. He even put the unfinished sandwich in his own spacesuit pocket to avoid crumbs making a mess of the spacecraft. Meanwhile, the official NASA-approved food was waiting patiently in a box nearby. Surely, radishes aren't your first pick when it comes to salad ingredients, but they have quite an interesting history too. These mustard, broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower cousins have been grown and eaten for longer than you'd imagine, even before the Romans were famous in ancient Egyptian times. In fact, radishes were used as currency for the people who built the pyramids, alongside onions and garlic. You'd think the English are champions when it comes to drinking tea, but you'd be wrong. Turkey is in fact the tea capital of the world. Every Turk drinks an average of 1,300 cups of tea each year. On a regular day, they're sipping on 3 to 5 cups, but when winter hits, they can reach 10 cups a day. Locals claim tea is like a social custom for them. It's more than just a hot beverage. It's an excuse to sit down, enjoy the atmosphere, and connect with loved ones. When it comes to types, black tea is preferred. There might be a magical drink hidden in your fridge. It's tonic water, and it might be able to glow in the dark. If you're curious, test it out with some ultraviolet light. The secret behind this glow is pretty simple. Tonic water has quinine, a chemical that lights up under certain conditions. Quinine was used back in the day to treat certain health problems. The stuff was so bitter that some people started mixing it with sugar and soda water. In simple terms, things glow because they absorb light energy, gets all excited, and then releases it as visible light. Quinine in tonic water absorbs and releases energy, making your drink look like it's from a fairy tale. There's an interesting connection between what we hear and what we taste. Scientists investigated and found that people worldwide link certain sounds with specific flavors, and they call it cross-modal correspondence. High-pitched sounds match up with sweet and sour tastes, while the lower, jarring sounds go hand-in-hand with bitterness. If it's staccato, think crunchy, and if it's smooth and flowing, think creamy. Some even found music that can enhance the taste of chocolate. In this study, when people listened to a high-pitched, sweet soundtrack while eating chocolate, they thought it was sweeter than when they'd heard a lower, more dissonant soundtrack.
Ah, the toothpick. This seemingly ordinary item that you often use after devouring a burger has a secret history that'll make your jaw drop, pun intended. Don't be fooled by its slim appearance. The toothpick has been around for ages. Long before archaeologists could dig up physical evidence of ancient toothpicks, those toothy wonders were made from materials that fell apart faster than leftovers in the back of your fridge. Yep, I'm talking about wood. However, clever researchers have found hints that Neanderthals and early Homo sapiens were hardcore toothpick enthusiasts. They've studied prehistoric bones and deduced that our ancestors regularly used some sort of tool to keep their pearly whites clean. In fact, they even found scratch marks on a tooth that suggest our predecessors were serious toothpickers. In hindsight, it probably wasn't the best idea for the delicate enamel coating of human teeth. Fast forward to more recent times, but still ancient, mind you. And toothpicks were all the rage among various ancient civilizations. Literary sources have spilled the beans on this peculiar obsession. According to an ancient Greek historian, a local tyrant met his doom by using a poison-coated toothpick. Yikes! And guess what? Toothpicks from those times have survived the test of time for us to see even today. These fancy picks were often made from more durable materials, like bone or precious metals. Who knew a tiny stick could be so dangerous and luxurious at the same time? Now let's talk about toothpick fashion. Oh yes, it was a thing too. Even during the medieval period, when life was all castles and chivalry, folks flaunted their upper-class status with gold or silver toothpicks elegantly tucked away in snazzy cases. Europeans really knew how to stand out from the toothpick-wielding masses. One particular fancy toothpick dating from the 16th century is displayed at the British Museum. It's made with gold and even encrusted with pearls. The trend continued well into the 19th century, when the Duchess of Parma even had a whole dozen of valuable toothpicks as part of her dowry. At one point in history, some crafty ladies in Portugal came up with a toothpick innovation. Instead of using them to clean teeth, these brilliant women made disposable toothpicks specifically for picking up sticky sweets. Bye-bye, messy fingers. And as luck would have it, toothpick production in Portugal boomed. Those toothpicks were a hit, finding their way across Europe and the Americas. An American entrepreneur named Charles Forster found himself fascinated by those same toothpicks he encountered during his travels. He was amazed by the exceptional quality of those little wooden wonders. Inspired, Charles Forster hatched a wild plan in his mind. He set out to build a contraption that could produce toothpicks at an astonishing rate, millions upon millions of them in a single day. He was determined to bring toothpick prosperity to America. But alas, fate had a quirky sense of humor. When Forster unveiled his toothpick wonderland to the American people, they just weren't interested. It seemed they were quite content with whittling their own toothpicks. Not to mention the idea of spending money on something they could easily make themselves left them scratching their heads. Forster knew he needed a magical transformation to create demand and ignite the toothpick frenzy. So, this daring entrepreneur decided to unleash his arsenal of marketing tactics. He hired people to masquerade as toothpick-hungry customers in stores, causing a toothpick-buying need among the unsuspecting shoppers. But that wasn't enough. He even recruited the brightest minds from Harvard University and gave them a secret mission. Whenever they ate at restaurants, they had to ask for toothpicks. Like magic, the habit spread, and soon enough, toothpicks became the must-have accessory for anyone. While Forster was busy masterminding the toothpick revolution, there were a few others who wanted a slice of the toothpick pie. In 1869, a quirky fellow from Philadelphia snagged a patent for his toothpick invention. It had a fancy hooked end and a spoon-like mechanism, perfect for cleaning out hollow and sensitive teeth. There were others who sought to improve the toothpick experience even further. One clever inventor dreamed up a retractable toothpick case for the suave and stylish toothpick enthusiast. And oh, there was a scented coating invented, designed to make your breath smell fresher than a field of daisies on a spring morning. As time marched on, the toothpick empire grew to epic proportions. By the end of the 19th century, billions of toothpicks were being produced each year. In 1887 alone, the count soared to an unimaginable 5 billion toothpicks, with our toothpick hero, Charles Forster, responsible for more than half of them. And just when you thought the toothpick madness couldn't get any crazier, there was a factory in Maine that emerged, defying all toothpick limits. It churned out toothpicks by the billions. Back to current times, it seems like luxurious toothpicks are ready to make a grand comeback. Leading the charge is a cheeky Toronto-based company that's on a mission to revolutionize the toothpick game. Now, you might be wondering, toothpicks? Really? How can they be luxurious these days? Well, these people have set their focus on crafting exquisite toothpicks from white birch and offer them in 6 delightful flavors. And believe it or not, there's something about toothpicks that taps into our primal instincts. Maybe it's because our ancestors were big fans of toothpick hygiene, and that trait has stuck with us through the ages. Everything about these toothpicks is in luxury and style. Imagine a slender bottle, sealed with a cork and elegantly embossed with the company's name. And that's not all. Each toothpick has one charred end, adding a touch of mystique. To take it up a notch, the company even offers chic leather carrying cases. Style and pizzazz aside, some dental experts claim using a toothpick may not always be good for us. If you find yourself in a sticky situation with something lodged between your teeth and you have absolutely nothing else on hand, you can cautiously consider using a toothpick. But hey, don't make it a habit. Dental professionals strongly advise against prolonged toothpick use. Why, might you ask? First off, breakage. As you're merrily picking away at your teeth, the little object might suddenly snap. You might even get a little piece stuck in there, which beats the whole initial purpose, right? Hygiene is another thing you consider. If you didn't buy that toothpick yourself, you can't guarantee its quality. It's hard to know if it's been stored properly or if it hasn't come in contact with harmful elements for our smile. A fantastic alternative is, of course, dental floss. It's the best way to give those food particles the old goodbye from your chompers. It can reach those tricky nooks and crannies without causing any gum damage or pesky irritations. But alas, if you already have a bunch of toothpicks at home and don't necessarily want them to go to waste, there are many other projects you can use them for at home. For starters, you can use them in your garden. Toothpick barriers can shield your delicate plants and seedlings from creepy crawlies. Watch your plants grow tall and strong, safe from sneaky caterpillars. And if a plant has a little accident, don't worry. Toothpicks to the rescue for broken branches and injured leaves. These little objects are also the ultimate ninja cleaners. Dust and dirt hiding in hard-to-reach spots won't cause trouble anymore. You can use them to clean grime around remote control buttons, phone buttons, and toys. They can also be used to clean up buildup in your hairbrushes and shower heads, too. Ready to join the toothpick tradition passed down from generations? Well, it's called the testing for doneness. Grab a toothpick and poke it into freshly baked cakes, loaves of bread, or brownies. If there's still any batter left over on the toothpick once you pull it out, your dessert might not be done quite yet.
Let's pay a bit of attention to backpacks. They have a few interesting features. First, some of them have sternum straps, and they are quite helpful. They allow you to redistribute the weight of the backpack a bit, lifting some of it from your shoulders. Not much, but just enough to make your backpack lighter and easier to carry. And, of course, the sternum straps prevent the shoulder straps from sliding off. Okay, the next thing is gear loops. And probably from the name of it, you already have an idea of what you need them for. You can strap in some useful gear you need with you, like trekking poles or shovels. Some gear will need to be secured to do it. Drop the handle through the loop and rotate it upward. Then, secure it with the elastic hook at the top, and you're golden. And yes, all backpacks have loops. Actually, I never thought of their purpose until today. Some people say that if you slide your thumbs through them, it makes the backpack sit tighter on your back, making it more comfortable. Other people just rest their hands there, but the reason why they're there is probably to prevent the ends from sliding back from the buckles. That would be quite a headache to slide them back all the time, right? Okay, let's look into some other ordinary stuff we've never paid attention to. Let's take, for example, jeans. They have those metal rivets. It turns out that they've been there as long as jeans exist. Jacob Davis, the man who made the first pair of jeans, added copper rivets to places where the pants were more likely to rip to make them stronger. So it was a crucial detail to keep jeans together. Today, they have a more decorative purpose because they're distinctive and traditional for jeans. Also, many zippers have the letters YKK engraved on them. Those are the initial letters of Yoshida Kogyo Kabushiki Gaisha. It's the name of a Japanese company that can be translated as Yoshida Manufacturing Shareholding Company. It's the largest zipper manufacturer in the world, so all zippers produced by them are marked with these letters. It's estimated that the company produces half of all zippers in the world. That's why you see their zippers more often than any others. Have you noticed that canned and bottled soda seems to taste different? You're not wrong, that's actually true, and there's even science behind it. Chemists say that aluminum cans have a polymer layer that absorbs some of the soda's taste, so cans indeed change the taste. Chemicals in a plastic bottle can add some acetaldehyde, a byproduct that gets formed while plastic is melted, to the drink, so they also change the taste a bit. You never really drink the original drink. If you want to try the real thing, buy sodas in glass bottles. When soda is stored this way, its taste is the most similar to the original one. Plastic bottles with soft drinks have 5 bumps on the bottom, and water and juice plastic bottles have almost flat bottoms, except for a little kink. It's not random. A plastic bottle is made by putting a plastic tube into a mold and blowing some air inside to make it expand until it takes the needed shape. The problem is that at the bottom, the bottle will always have an outward kink that will make the bottle unstable. To avoid it, some air is also pushed inward from the bottom, creating that small punt at the base of it. Flat bottle bottoms are common because they need less plastic to be made, but soft drinks and sparkling water need special treatment. These liquids have internal pressure that can push the plastic outward, messing up with the punt and the stable form of a bottle. So, soda bottles have a curved shape because this way they're more pressure resistant. Compare folding a regular piece of paper to folding a paper tube. The latter will have more resistance. In the same way, curved plastic is more resistant to any pressure. Take a closer look at your bag of chips. You can probably find these little colored circles. They're made by the manufacturer to test the print that is used on the package. They're called color control patches. The circles are not the same palette as the final package. They are layered on top of each other to achieve the final color of the bag. So why do manufacturers need them again? Imagine that something is off and the printing machine prints a bunch of wrong packages. That's a lot of wasted money. So these control patches are there to make sure that the final print is going to be correct. If they're off, the manufacturer will know that the whole package is going to be off too. These patches allow the printers to find a surplus or a deficiency of color and solve the issue. But don't worry if you don't find these circles. They probably just got cut off. Take a good look at a milk jug. There's often an inverted circle on one of the sides. This dimple is there to make the jug more resistant and to prevent it from rupturing if the jug falls on the floor. The dimple gives some more space for the liquid to expand. Also, as the expiration date approaches, the microbes in the milk start to expel some gases. As more and more of them get trapped inside, the pressure in the jug rises. The dimple accommodates the expansion and prevents the jug from bursting.
If you're smelling something fishy at home and it's not your delicious salmon dinner, then it's time to check your electrical equipment. That stinky smell could mean your wires are frayed, your breakers are faulty, or your circuits are overloaded. And let me tell you, those plastic-coated wires emit a smell worse than a tuna sandwich left out in the sun. So don't be a fish out of water and get your electrical system checked ASAP. If you smell rotten eggs in your house, call the plumber straight away. The most obvious reason is the sewage and drain problems, such as contamination. But such a smell can also be produced if you've got problems with the water heater. Another possible problem might be a gas leak. Manufacturers add some distinct bad-smelling chemical to natural gas, so that people could notice even the tiniest gas leak on the spot. This one may not be as easy to spot as a unicorn in Central Park, but it's still important to know. Have you ever caught a whiff of something funky before your stove ignites? That's the smell of carbon monoxide. And let me tell you, it's no joke. This sneaky gas can be extremely dangerous if you inhale too much of it. And the worst part is that it's completely odorless and tasteless. That weird scent you're picking up, it's actually added to the gas to give you a heads up that danger is lurking. So, next time you catch a funky smell coming from your stove, don't just brush it off as last night's leftover lasagna. It's not uncommon to find mold in your home wherever water is present and trapped, like an unknown leak in the walls. Mold spores can grow as a result of this moist patch and can cause pretty serious health issues. Bedbugs have a thing for shoes. Yep, they love to hide in them, but only if the conditions are right. So if you've got a pair of shoes that you hardly ever wear, watch out. Bedbugs might just be snuggling up in there for a cozy nap. But don't worry, there's a trick to keeping those pesky bugs out of your kicks. Leather shoes are a bit too smooth for bed bugs to crawl on, so they're less likely to hide in those. Athletic shoes, on the other hand, are like a playground for bed bugs. All those interesting textures and patterns make for the perfect hiding spot. So if you want to keep bed bugs out of your shoes, just wear them regularly. Those creepy crawlers don't like anything that moves or gets disturbed often. And who knows, you might even squish a few of them in the process. Talk about a win-win situation. So go ahead, put on those shoes and show those bedbugs who's boss. Your feet and your sanity will thank you for it. If your nostrils are being assaulted by an unpleasant odor, it might be time to check your mattress. Recent scientific studies have revealed that a 7-year-old mattress can harbor more bacteria than a sci-fi movie set in outer space. Over 16 million colony-forming units per square inch. That's enough to make even the bravest of us want to sleep in a hazmat suit. But fear not, for there is a solution to this gross problem. Enter baking soda, the unsung hero of household cleaning. Simply sprinkle some of this magical powder onto your mattress, let it sit for half an hour while you go do something fun like watching cat videos, and then vacuum it up with a brush attachment. Voila! Your bed will smell fresher than a field of daisies on a spring day. So don't let those pesky bacteria get the best of you. And who knows? Maybe your newly freshened mattress will even inspire some sweet dreams, or at least keep the nightmares at bay. Have you ever noticed that your towel smells like a swamp monster's armpit? Yeah, that's because you've been using it for too long. Don't be a bacteria hoarder. Switch out your towel after 3 uses. And if you really want to banish those stinky germs, toss in some baking soda every now and then, your nose, and if you share an apartment, your roommates will definitely thank you. If your bathroom smells like a swamp, it could be because of stagnant water or some gross residue in the drain. Don't worry, if the plumber can't come until tomorrow, you can hack the smell by adding a few drops of your favorite essential oil to the toilet paper roll. It won't solve the problem, but at least you won't feel like you're suffocating. Now, onto the stinky toilet brush. Squirt some scented detergent right into the holder, or make your own DIY scent with distilled water and essential oil. It will get rid of bacteria, and the essential oil will hide bad smells. Just make sure you're allergic to the oils you choose. Moving on to the dishwasher. Did you know that mold can grow in there? Gross, right? Run a dry heat cycle with no dishes but some vinegar instead. Make sure to flush all the interiors, including the filters and panels. And if your silverware basket is looking a little moldy, soak it in some diluted antibacterial detergent before rinsing it thoroughly. Now let's talk about weird sounds in your house. Clicking and knocking in the winter or fall could be from turning on the heating or radiators. If there's condensed steam stuck in the system, try bleeding the radiators. And if you hear a bubbling sound, it could be a water leak or sediment in the water heater. Shut off the main water and listen. If the sound stops, call the plumber. If not, try draining the tank. If you're moving into a new house, check the walls and ceiling for any red flags. Fresh paint could be hiding something, so ask the landlord what's up. And stay away from popcorn ceilings. Not only are they ugly, but they contain asbestos. Asbestos is like a bowl of alphabet soup. It's made up of all these hard-to-pronounce crystal fibers. Chrysotile, anthophyllite, tremolite, crocidolite, actinolite, and amosite. But don't let their wacky names trick you. Asbestos is one tough cookie. It can withstand high temperatures, chemicals, and even electricity. No wonder it was such a popular building material back in the day. Asbestos is like a sneaky ninja. It can break down into teeny tiny fibers that are so small they can float around in the air for days. And if you accidentally breathe in these fibers, it's like inviting a dangerous guest to your lungs. Yikes. So let's give asbestos the boot and keep our lungs happy and healthy. Just be careful if you're renovating an old home. You never know if you'll uncover a surprise layer of asbestos roofing. Odor-causing bacteria love to party in your kitchen sink and drain. And don't even get us started on the garbage disposal scraps. It's like a bacteria buffet in there. But there's a fun solution for you. Once a week, throw a party of your own by inviting 6 ice cubes, 1 tablespoon of baking soda, 3 thin lemon slices, and 1 teaspoon of bleach to the disposal. Turn up the music. Ahem. Turn on the disposal and let those ice cubes do their thing. When the party's over, rinse with cold water for 30 seconds and voila, a fresh and clean sink. Your new sofa or cabinets could be secretly releasing some stinky gases into the air. Yep, it's true. These gases, called volatile organic compounds, aka VOCs, can make your nose and throat feel pretty irritated. And if that's not bad enough, they can even give you a headache or make you feel dizzy. Yikes! But don't worry. I've got your back. If you can, try opening up some windows to get some fresh air flowing. And if you're on the hunt for some new furniture or home products, keep an eye out for low VOC options. Your nose will thank you. Plus, who wants to be surrounded by stinky furniture anyways?
That's it for today. So hey, if you pacified your curiosity, then give the video a like and share it with your friends. Or if you want more, just click on these videos and stay on the bright side.